When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by findmassmoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city all under one roof. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good, but I'm a little disturbed by Courtney's willingness to eat Domino's pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's really, I'm all for, to quote a Wiggyism, anything that tickles your fanny, but Domino's just doesn't do it for me.
Well, you clearly haven't had it since 2010 when they changed
their recipe.
No, I haven't
had it at all, and I don't plan to have it ever again. But I do have a story about Little Caesar's Pizza. Do you know that it was founded by Mike Ilitch, who owns the Detroit Red Wings? Hockey-related story.
And the Tigers, I think.
And the Tigers, too. And when Brad Park was here, he was a free agent, and they tickled his fanny with the offer of a free agent ball of cash. Plus, included in that was two Little Caesar pizza franchises.
Oh.
Which is, you know, that would make it interesting for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One more Mike Ilitch story is like, Rosa Parks left Montgomery after her civil disobedience and moved to Detroit, and she actually got mugged in one of the places that she was living, and a friend heard about it, moved her to someplace safe, and Mike Ilitch paid for her apartment for the rest of her life.
Really?
Wow.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, Detroit. I've been there one time. I thought it was a cool little city. Everything's right downtown.
And those two franchises for Brad Park would be worth a lot of money today.
Little I think they folded.
It's like, all right. Well, it's like the guys who took their salary in the NFL in crypto. They finally have made some money.
Right. Yeah, they better cash out right now before it's
Odell Beckham and the other guy.
Again. Yeah. OBJ.
Yeah, and the offensive lineman.
How much is like one Bitcoin right now?
It's $105,500 as of last night. So
you guys get it? I don't get it.
No, I don't get it. Like, how much did people buy? Like, how much did they pay for one?
Some people, like your friend and mine, S Carp, was in there for like 15 G's.
Mm.
On the Bitcoin,
nice return.
So, it's a pretty good return. But I mean,
it's like the lineman. I think he put like 6 million of it and ended up getting what?
Well, I mean, if he still has it, then if he didn't sell out at some point,
I don't think he did sell out. I think he's like he was able to get like either some 12 or 20 million, something along those lines.
All right, listen, Mike, you get the comeback win in St. Louis. I don't know if you can. I can't figure out what this Bruins team is right now. What is this team?
No, I you know. And nobody saw this coming except for Nostradamus. I mean, Andrew Raycroft. You know, like he's telling the people that they're going to come back in the third period, and I don't know why. The previous game in Ottawa, when it was 2-2, they hadn't had a shot in 25 minutes, and they're the worst third period in the team going into worst third period team in the league going into the St. Louis game, and surprisingly, amazingly, and just what they needed perhaps was a come from behind win. And you know, but there's still not a lot to get excited about. I mean, both sides of the special teams are iffy. You know, you like that Pastrnak broke his scoreless streak. He hadn't scored, I think, in what, 6-7 games. And it came with a price with Hampus Lindholm going down. I don't know what happened there. It looks to me like they call it weeks on the shelf. Probably cracked something or broke something in there. I know you're not supposed to speculate, but why not? But it's a win that puts them a game over 500. The holes are still there. Their problems don't go away with a win like that, but maybe it changes their mindset. Maybe they get a little more excited and they get some jump for it. We'll see against a pretty good Dallas team tonight.
They were 0-for again, power play in St. Louis. Wiggy was asking this question the other day, so... what do you do to fix that?
Well, probably different personnel, and they did that. They put Lindholm on the point on the power play until he got hurt. But what it effectively did was you know, flick the switch in McAvoy's mind to shoot the puck a little bit more. I mean, he can shoot it. He can shoot it like hell. I mean, Montgomery made the comment after the game the other night that if he could shoot it like that, he'd shoot it all the time. And I don't know why different people have the mindset to dish the puck as opposed to shooting it, but there's so much more effectiveness that goes into shooting the puck, making people turn and look where it is, and people get free. It's just, but if you're not going to shoot the puck from the point, you're not going to have much luck on the power play.
Mike, one of the things that I don't understand is we heard Montgomery criticize Pastor about his turnovers, but when you do look at the power play a lot of the time, it seems like between the neutral zone, it's like they allow Pasta to carry the puck into the zone. So I don't get, you're criticizing a guy for turning the puck over, but you're then you have him be like your main guy to bring the puck through the neutral zone into kind of like into the scoring zone.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, he can skate pretty well, so they think that the speed of entry is one of the most important criteria. You know, they drop the puck back late. You know, it's a same old story for most teams. But that guy that gets the puck late has to be flying, and he has to be able to, you know, take advantage of the gap that's created by that sort of drop pass situation. But you also have to be aware that, you know, if you run out of real estate, you're going to have to place the puck in an area where you can retrieve it. And I'm not sure Pasta has that aspect of the game down.
Mike, we haven't talked to you since Allmark made his return, leaving the Garden with a win. What do you say to people that say, well, did the Bruins make the right decision sending him out and keeping Swayman?
Go home. Have a nap. That's what I'd say. I mean, it's ridiculous. The kid, Swayman, is much younger. I mean, good for Allmark if he plays well in Ottawa. That's fine. But they couldn't afford to have both of them. I think Swayman has the better disposition. I wish they had just given him the money right off the bat. I don't know if that's weighing on his mind at all. And he should probably step away from the microphone a little more quickly than he's doing lately. He's got a little too much to say. But anyway, I think he's going to be a terrific goaltender for a long time. And
he's 4-5. No concern about that. It's too early.
No, well, the team's 8-7. They're in the same boat. I don't think they've played well defensively. They gave up a couple power play goals. Did you see the two tap-ins the other night? I mean, they're standing off to the side of the net unattended, and there's not anything any goaltender could do with that. And I think a lot of the goals that he's given up, most of the goals he's given up, I can sort of analyze. And there's been some stinkers, and, you know, I think maybe he was a little shaken up by all the stuff around his contract and maybe taking a little while to get back on track. But I don't have much doubt about him being a steady top-line contributor going down the line.
Mike, the people that know hockey far better than I, that's list is long, but Kevin Paul DuPont in the Globe, there's been the people that have been around the team the longest have been relatively the loudest when it comes to Monty and his future with the team. Do you believe that he is going to be here at the end of the year? And if the Bruins are standing behind him, why wouldn't they do what the Red Sox did and extend him so he has a little more credibility in the dressing room?
You know, that's a good question. I think we did talk about that a couple of weeks ago. Would have been interesting to see. You know, I've been in that situation before where coach, we gave him a 3-year contract to start his tenure in New York. And at the middle of the second year, we weren't playing very well. And the owner said to me, you know, pick up his option on the third year so he feels comfortable. And we did. Unfortunately, he came in at the end of the second year and asked for more a contract extension, and we had to let him go.
Probably threw a shoe at him.
But anyway, it was an interesting play. It spoke to me that there was some doubt about his ability to do certain things within the organization, notably advance further in the playoffs. But, you know, we've talked about this, too, that they got beat by Florida both years. And Florida is one of the cream of the crop teams in the league right now. So, and I don't think you can look at the Bruins and say they're cream of the crop. They just don't have the personnel to contend with some of the better teams. And I don't know. It's a difficult position in which to assess a coach.
They don't have the personnel, or the personnel is not executing the way they should.
Well, I don't think they have the personnel. Okay, right now the first line is Lindholm, Pastrnak, and Marchand. Give me the next three the top six forwards. We always talk about top six forwards. Who's in that?
I feel like your guy Charlie Coyle's been.
No, he's not. He's a third line player. Stop. And he's a great third line player, and I love Charlie Coyle's style. I think he's terrific. Pavel Zacha is not a second line player. He's been given plenty of opportunity, but they don't have any other choice. So if you're asking me, I'm telling you, no, they don't have enough depth at the key personnel in order to be considered a really, you know, contending team.
So they're back like they used to be when they had the Bergeron, Pastor, and Mascherano line. That was it.
Yeah, you know, until they get Krejci back, and then there was a viable second line, and, you know, they still had to piece things together there. But, you know, they're going to play Dallas tonight. And Dallas picked up this kid, Logan Stankoven, and he's only like 5'8", but he was a surprise. He's a second-round draft pick. That's what the Bruins need to do. They need to find some surprises in their draft roster. And right now, their surprises are unsurprising. I mean, they're just not, they're not able to pick off some of these. And they've given away a lot of, in fairness to their scouting staff, they've given away an awful lot of their high draft picks in order to see if they could grab the brass ring, but it hasn't worked.
Mike, when do you make the decision, right? If you're the Bruins, if it's, say, if front office is saying to themselves behind the scenes, Montgomery has to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but if nobody believes that, when do you make the decision to move on from the guy? Do you wait for the playoffs, or do you maybe try to shake it up and move on from him middle of the season?
If you know, the conversation comes around to, has he lost the team, I guess, and really what that means is, do they look uninspired? Do they look like they're sort of, you know, confused or disinterested or dispirited, whatever the terminology is that you want to go by? That has never, you know, when the team gets to that standpoint and it goes for, you know, let's call it a month, and it looks like it's not coming out of it, you really don't have any choice. Even if the personnel isn't there, you know, you're still selling tickets to fans, especially in this town, and for decades, the byword has been hard work. It's not always been a Stanley Cup, but there's always been hard work, and it's mostly been visible. But if you lose that, you've lost your franchise identity, and then you have to clearly make a change and maybe address not only the coaching issue, but take a look in the personnel mirror.
Mike, what are your thoughts on sending Matthew Patra down to Providence? Do you like that move to get him some time to kind of grow a little bit here?
You know what? He only had a handful of points. I mean, he looked like he made some things happen, but how long do you, you know, go to that well? And the Bruins needed some wins, and looked like he needed some seasoning. I just don't want them to see them go up and down like a yo-yo. I think that's deadly. So I can't disagree with it. He wasn't that productive. I'm disappointed for him, disappointed that Lysell hasn't stepped up. They needed a guy like that to be a surprise, as I talked about. But it hasn't happened, so I can't second-guess them on that. He needed to do more in order to secure a spot here, and he didn't.
There was a time that Razor was calling him Bergeron 2.0, I believe.
Well, he's not 100% right in all these things, is he?
All right, Mike Milbury, always a pleasure, and we will talk to you again next week.
You got it. See ya.
All right, there's Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics started out slow, but made sure to put anyone that was questioning them in their place with a 139-114 win on the road over the Nets in the second of a back-to-back. Jason Tatum was one rebound away from a triple-double, 36 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds for him. We talked to Mego yesterday about the physicality that other teams have been presenting to the season every game. Tatum was asked about how they're responding to that. Here's what he had to say.
That's how teams try to combat our speed and our skill. Be more physical, up the pressure. So for one, we have to be strong with the ball. I think just moving with more pace, we allow that to make us stagnant, then we become a shell of ourselves. But if we play with purpose and pace, it usually results in a good possession.
The Bruins are in Dallas tonight to take on the Stars. Puck drop is at 8 in a good Thursday night football game tonight. Commanders at Eagles kick off at 8:15. I have a 10-legger that I have locked in before this
season. All right, here you go, Courtney.
I mean, if you hit it, Domino's for life, I'm guessing.
100%. Well, $800. So
not going to be able to enjoy it with Mike Milbury. I mean, he took an awful lot of shots at the Domino's people.
Well, I'm sorry. You can't speak on it if you haven't tried it in years. They changed their recipe in 2010. I looked it up. So that if you haven't had it,
I've had it.
I doubt it.
I had it.
I think you're fraudulent.
No, I had it, Courtney. Because I feel like you go to any like a kid's party or something. I think we might have had like a party or a get together here in the office for something. And they had Domino's.
That's not the handmade pan.
Yeah, that's not the handmade.
There's too many. We live in a place where there's just too many options for me to be like, you know, that's like saying, oh, you know what? I live in Boston, but I'm going to Subway.
Is that the order, the handmade pan?
Yes, handmade pan. Cheese. Huh. And then you got to get the garlic sauce, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Here's why Domino's tastes good. Because you think it'll stink. But if you expect...
Or you're drunk.
Oh, yeah, believe me. I still have the Domino's heat container that they would deliver the pizzas in because we got hammered, ordered Domino's. My buddy Jordan jumped out of a snowbank. The guy got so scared he left the Domino's in the container, left in the car. And it's still, I was at Needham the other day. My parents still have it. So, but if you get Domino's expecting it to be good, it's not going to live up to it.
We'll agree to disagree. Head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a 3-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow-roasted prime rib, 2 sides, and a free 3-course meal upgrade available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Sally Dave with a Twitch chat. What's Courtney's take on Chuck E. Cheese pizza? Yeah.
From what I remember, there was pretty good.
Okay, the defense rests.
You also think the band there is excellent?
They are top notch. Asked to get them for the wedding. They were busy.
You got a third grade palate, that's why, when it comes to pizza.
There's a text from Rhode Island that says, no way that I have Courtney going full on degenerate gambler on my bingo card. But that's where you're at.
That's where I'm at.
There you go.
Last $10. That's
where you're at.
Courtney just said Elio's over Pino's, which is unfortunate. 39 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 47.